This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
We're all like, what if this was 3 days? And I said, I would be. I said, you have to have it 4 days.
Speaking of, I saw him post something, a picture with Coach DeBoer, and said this something about like water under the bridge or something like that. I didn't even, what was the...
Well, they, you know, his first year, he was...
Did he say some bad things about him that I missed somewhere?
Not horrible, okay, but okay. Just critical.
Sure.
Not horrible, but just a little critical.
Fair enough.
Coach Saban wouldn't have done it this way.
Type stuff. Okay. Yeah, I guess I just missed that. Yeah, I saw that.
But it was like a year ago.
Yeah.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa internet world. West Alabama, how we doing today? Oh my gosh, it feels so good to be back live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're hanging out with us on the Bama Central Facebook page. You're on my own social media machines at Joe Gaither 6. You're on Apple Podcast, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, Red Circle, Bubble, B-U-B-B-L. We appreciate everybody who's downloaded, rated, and reviewed the show on your own platforms. We are back live, like we said, in the Derek Daniels Studios in Mason Wood's beautiful face across from me. I missed him so bad. No disrespect to Theo Fernandez. He was a great partner for a lot of the week. But back in the friendly confines of the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios with the beautiful face of Mason Woods. Call Derek for all of your insurance needs, 205-758-3391. You can call him for home insurance, life insurance. You can call him for renter's insurance, boater's insurance. You can call him for anything that you need in the rent and the insurance world. He's right upstairs. Call him again at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there, and we are here. Follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_. Not a ton going on the recruiting trail this week, but he covered it for the three sites, the Walsh Writing Network on BamaCentral.com, Missouri Tigers on SI, and Vanderbilt Commodores on SI. Mason Woods, good morning. So good to see you. How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing good. I was enjoying all of the coverage from Media Days, you and Theo and the rest of the team that was there. I think I was at Wednesday. Everybody did a fantastic job from the week. Was not anything that I felt I missed out on from what happened at Media Day. You know, I feel like I was there right alongside with you guys. So, you know, it was really, I enjoyed getting to read everything, and it was nice to, you know, have my mornings off and just be able to take a break for a few days here.
I tell you what, the crew on Wednesday really, really killed it. I mean, I wrote a couple of things on Monday, Tuesday. I wrote a couple of things Wednesday, Thursday. But Wednesday, when Will Miller, when Hunter DeCiver both sat down, and obviously Theo right there to my right as well. When they sat down, they really picked up the ball and kept it going. So, okay, great. We've got two voicemails in the tank. You guys can leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We'll get Robert from Brookwood. I know that Dax sent me a voicemail for our interview at 845 because Dax was with me on Sunday watching the movie. It was great, but Hunter and Will and Theo crushed it on Wednesday, really with the Alabama coverage. We'll have a lot more Alabama coverage over the next 2 weeks, really rolling out from Media Days, different stories. I will be putting out my interview with Caden Proctor, my interview with Tim Keenan, my interview with Deonte Lawson. So we'll get you those over the next couple of days. I'll probably put one out tomorrow on Saturday, just as a here's just some Saturday content.
I think Tim Keenan did a great job this week, really elevating his brand for himself.
You know, he did. I definitely think he did. He was more entertaining than I was expecting. I'll say that. We saw the list of guys that were on the list to come, and I thought, well, okay, not great, but Tim was
great. Everything I saw from him,
and then Caden was as well, and Deontay was as well. But all of those guys, we talked about it with Theo on Wednesday afternoon and put it in the podcast. All those guys were 10% more interesting than I was expecting, and 10% more interesting than they were last year in the Malmore Athletic Facility.
Do you think that any of this has to do with the coaching staff and the general attitude within the program that maybe has changed a bit from Saban retiring?
maybe. Nick, none of them were spicy. None of them, none of them talked a whole lot.
Just a little more open, a little more jovial, a little bit more, friendly.
Yes, personality. They showed their personalities just a little bit more.
Did you see the video of Tim Keenan, the SEC Network? I think they posted on TikTok or something. They do their little like photo shoot, so they get him in the room with all the lights in the background and everything, and he's like getting up there doing this little like dance, running his show. It was really funny. It was a good time. I enjoyed watching Tim Keenan this week. He did some really good stuff, and then also just seeing all the interviews that he did. But everybody, and it was like you said, I was very pleasantly surprised with how interesting they all ended up being.
Absolutely. Mason, can I ask you a favor? You do have the password for this hotspot on your computer and your laptop, right?
I think I do.
Will you switch your stuff to that? Because I'm on my end, you're just getting a little which is a-okay. No. We've been dealing with that for the last two weeks, but I wanted to fix that right off the bat. Here, I can toss this to you, and we can make it happen here. Oh, I don't know. Is it on? Well, that would be helpful. Yeah, it's turning on, so we'll get you. Make sure everybody can see your beautiful face. You can find the password in there in just a little bit. What I want to do is start with Robert from Brooklyn's voicemail, because we want to honor the voicemail line, and I know he left a voicemail maybe like Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, and the show was just chaotic as all get out, trying to get shows on and trying to cover everything. So we'll start with Robert from Brookwood's call, and then we'll kind of get into different things that we heard from SEC Media Days. So let's see, 205-462-7340, extension 800. Here is Robert from Brookwood.
Good morning, Cup of Joe. Robert from Brookwood. Just want to say Roll Tide for baseball, basketball, and football. It's been a good off season for all the schools so far. Football season's here. Good job. Keep it up. Thanks, guys.
Oh, okay. All right. Good job. Keep it up. Hey, man, football season is here now. Made me realize on Wednesday when Kalen DeBoer was up there, he said, 2 weeks from today, we're going to be at practice. They can still hear you, by the way. Mm-hmm. So it's all good. They said, 2 weeks from today, we're going to be at practice. And I thought, wow, we are really there at this point. I hate to do this, but I'll reveal my own feelings for the whole week. Monday was the MLB draft, and Will Miller had a story for every single draftee, whether they were going to get drafted, return to school. He had a story for them, and he was putting them out there great. And I thought to myself, it's football season now.
It's football season now.
It's not MLB draft season. But we'll start with that. Alabama got three of its prospects that were expected to be draft picks, and they were going to miss out on them because they were going to get a lot of money to go to the MLB. Mm-hmm. Miles Upchurch, Eric Hines, and Will Ryan. I'm not sure how to say his name quite yet. All three decided, we ain't going pro. We going Bama. Miles Upchurch did get drafted, but it was late. And Miles Upchurch has been on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. So make sure you search that up if you want to hear him from 2 years ago. Sophomore Miles Upchurch. He was on the show. So all three of those. And I am juiced about Eric Hines coming to school. ACA zone. He led ACA to a state championship. Let's see. Here you go. Right there. He led ACA to a state championship. You might probably going to have to put your phone on it, too, to make sure the camera goes right. But take your time. You're all good. He led ACA to a state championship, and he was Gatorade Player of the Year, Baseball Player of the Year here in Alabama, and he was just smacking the baseball all over the place in high school ball, and I'm really excited to have him come to Tuscaloosa. Now, Miles Upchurch as well. Miles did get drafted in the later rounds by the Cincinnati Reds, but didn't like his draft slot, and that's just how that works sometimes, and decides that he's going to come to Tuscaloosa. I think that Monday's MLB draft really, really was favorable for Alabama. And so we'll get Will Miller back on pretty soon to kind of recap all that. I think that he has a draft article in the tank, kind of an analysis article in the tank for about 3 o'clock today on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. So what's the biggest things that we heard this week? We heard Greg Sankey really, really slap his, really throw it on the table on Monday, basically. And he said, you know, well, our schedule is harder than your schedule, and we don't need to play 9 games if we don't want to. And he talked about our viewership's more than your viewership. And he talked really about all kinds of things. He talked about our coaches, about our NFL draft picks, everything is so good. It was a 45-minute propaganda session to open the SEC Media Day over there in Atlanta. And then you heard from all the coaches, and there was highlights from all of them. But honestly, Mason, did you hear Eli Drinkwitz yesterday?
30-team playoff. Is that what was that the number, 30-team? Yeah, 30-team playoff. That's one of those where you hear that, and it's immediately, what a horrible idea. But then he explains it, and it kind of makes sense the way he explains it. As I'm aware, at least, I didn't listen to it entirely, but
dude,
I saw.
Dude, you need to. It was the best 30 minutes of the whole thing.
And the way he laid it out, at least as I understood it, is, you know, when you look at professional sports leagues, this, you know, the percentage of teams that make the playoffs is so much higher than it is in college football.
He said 40-something percent, 44?
Yeah, and, you know, in college, it's like 10% or something like that. With, you know, so from that standpoint, I do understand, you know, if we're looking for parity, if we're looking for, you know, competitive, I don't even know what you, if competition, that seems to be the way to do it. I guess the argument against it is, well, hey, Eli, you know, let's remember that you all are the ones who have been telling us for the last 15, 20 years, well, these aren't professional sports. These aren't pros. These are amateur athletes. So I don't know. But he made a lot of sense, I got to say.
Basically saying in the NFL, you've only got to beat 4 teams, win your division. We've got 16 teams in our, quote, division in the SEC. He was hilarious. He gets up there the first, and they're playing the Missouri Fight song, and he goes, oh, it reminds me of Disney World. They played this at Disney World. Did you know that Walt Disney is a native of so-and-so, Missouri? And I'm like, okay, fun fact. And then he goes, and it looks like Disney World, too. Everybody's hot, tired, ready to go home. I see y'all. I was like, yes, you are clocked. You've clocked me, sir. And he goes, so let's knock this out. And he goes on, ja, 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 we're this, we're that, we're that. And and he goes, all right, I'm ready to answer questions. But reminder, I won't answer any questions about the Epstein files, JFK, if Lee Harvey Oswald could get 3 shots off from the bookstore from the third floor. And he just went on and on about just things he wasn't going to answer questions about. And then flat answers opens it up.
Anybody asking about recruiting?
No,
probably not a question he wants to answer.
Not in main media. and they didn't in electronic media either, because I cut that up last night.
I doubt that's a question he's very interested in answering at this moment right now. He's not looking too hot for Missouri on the recruiting trail.
He talked a lot about transfer portal, Pribula, Damon Wilson, Kevin Coleman
from Jr. From an outsider perspective, that seems to maybe just be the blueprint of their program at this moment, is we're building through transfer portal as opposed to building through recruiting.
Hashtag transfer to the St. Louis.
Transfer to the zoo?
Transfer. Oh, I like that. We need that. There we go. We're putting that up. Oh, it's okay if you didn't hear our show Wednesday/yesterday. I re-uploaded it because some of the audio was messed up. But we need your help, Mason.
What we got?
you when you said hashtag transfers to the zoo, little slogan right there. We need a Caden Proctor cologne slogan.
Oh, yeah.
We need a. We,
I did see. What did they say? You can't be big and smelling bad.
Big man, we be stinking. And he said they have 170. He said he has 170 colognes. And Theo was like, we need to get him an NIL deal. Mm-hmm. He needs to have his own cologne. And all that I had at that moment was protection by Proctor. But then Theo goes, man, that sounds like contraceptive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
he said that sounds like not a cologne. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you're right. You're definitely
Blindside.
Okay, all right.
And he'll blindside you how good he smells.
There we go.
Nobody expects the big guy to smell good.
Blindsided by Proctor. Okay, I like that better. I definitely like that better. That's something we can workshop over the next couple of days.
I mean, 170, that's too much. That's too much cologne.
Yeah, that's too much. That's going to last you the rest of your life.
That's too much. I'm all for everybody having their hobbies and their collections and things, and that's great. But man, that's a lot of cologne. My dad is the same way. I would estimate he's probably got around that many bottles of cologne at the house currently. Every time I go home, there seems like there's new ones. He just likes smelling, I guess.
Dolce and Gabbana, Armani,
all the different ones.
There you go. So like I have like four little tiny bottles, and I got them like in November because my main bottle ran out. I had a big bottle that lasted me like 5 years.
Yep. Yeah, I'm rocking the one big bottle that my dad gave me of one of the ones that I had taken from him that I liked. And he said, okay, yeah, cool, and gave me my own. And that's what I rock now. And, you know, when that bottle runs out, it'll be a sad day because I will not buy another one to replace it.
Well, I mean, because it lasts so long, you should. Because, like, we're not bathing in cologne. I'm going dap-dap on the wrist, neck, just a little. And so, like, the three or four little bottles that I bought in November,
they'll last you a few years.
Right. They're still looking good.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not trying to just throw it over my head and wear somebody out with it.
You think he's combining scents? You know, he's got like.
Please don't.
Because that's where you mess up right there. That's where you get yourself into trouble.
A scent on the wrist and then a scent on the neck and then a different scent on the ankle. It's like, no, please don't. And look, Caden, we need you to be stinking on Saturdays.
Yeah, maybe don't use that on Saturdays.
On Fridays either. We want you to build up the body odor so the edge rusher really don't want to touch it. They're like, oh, man, you've been sweating. We had in high school, this is nasty, but in high school, I had an offensive lineman who would go from Thursday. Well, no, because games were on Friday. Would go from Wednesday through the Friday night game, no showers.
Yeah, I don't like
and then
that.
After the Friday night game, just I'm getting clean. But like, thought it was a theory that I'm just going to
sit on
the offensive line. The other guy's going to be nose to nose with me, and he's going to be repulsed by my scent.
I don't think that you can't get smelly enough in 2 days to make enough of a difference for it to be worth it. Like that's got
two practices.
No, you got to build up a week's worth of scent for it to be like that noticeable that the person you're blocking or playing against doesn't want to touch you. 2 days. That was just, that guy just didn't want to shower. Like,
okay. So Eli Drinkwitz was my favorite coach on the podium just because he was so forthright. Yes. I text the Missouri guys. I said, screw you guys for getting this guy every few days. And they're like, yeah, he's fun when he's in a mood like this.
I guess that's what it is. You just got to find him in the right mood.
He was in the electronic media room and somebody goes, coach, you doing okay today? Just to open their question up. And he goes, am I doing all right? Yeah, I'm doing good. I could use a Diet Mountain Dew, though, but I'm doing good.
Man after my own heart.
The Missouri guys are like, he's a diet soda fiend.
I can't blame him.
I saw him check in on Wednesday night at the hotel. We were there late Wednesday. And as I'm coming down the stairs, they're checking into the Omni. And I go, oh, I saw the Missouri guys. And they go, oh, did he have a Diet Coke already? And I was like, yeah, actually.
I'm really only a Diet Dew guy. I can't really do the other diet sodas. The Diet Coke doesn't do it for me. Or, you know, a Diet Dr. Pepper or something. They don't do it for me. I can't get down with that. But the Diet Dew. Yeah, me and the other drink was on the same wavelength there.
I told you, obviously SEC media days, SEC events are Dr. Pepper events. Mm-hmm. I found the best flavor of Dr. Pepper. It's by far Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream by miles. Like, I like regular Dr. Pepper. I'm a fan. And like, there's something about going to an SEC event, filling your little thing up with ice and going to their fountain.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
you know, and it's all the bubbles. But the upstairs cooler had all the flavors of Dr. Pepper.
Did you try a blackberry one?
I did.
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
Yeah, no, I made the unfortunate mistake of buying some of those one day thinking, oh, that'll be really good. And there's like eight of them that have been in the fridge for 6 months now.
You can just bring them here. We'll just crack them open. So it was a fun time over in Atlanta.
What was the best? Did you get to walk around the Hall of Fame at all and see everything, or did you really not have any time to do it?
We definitely had time to do it, yeah. But I did not do it. I walked through the lobby and saw the wall of helmets, and they had rotating displays every day for which team was going to be there. Okay. They all had a small stand up with Derrick Henry's jersey, mm-hmm. a couple trophies in there.
Yeah, our boss Chris sent me the Joe Burrow display that was up somewhere, and I did not. It was unfortunate I had to see that fraudulent quarterback.
But. Go Tiger. Oh, can we go right there then? Because that was on Monday. And Brian Kelly, I wrote this for the cover on Tuesday. Brian Kelly was talking about LSU quarterbacks year one to year two jumps. And the last two incumbent starting quarterbacks was Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow. And now we're looking at Garrett Nussmeier. And he said up at the main media that he's going to take this similar jump. And I thought, you need to be drug tested.
That's a bold statement. It's a bold, bold statement. You do have the track record to back it up. Like, you can say that.
He wasn't with Burrow. It was Eddie O. Oh, yeah, but he was. Yeah. But he was all over Jaden Daniels. Yeah. That was him. That was his doing.
You know, like I said, that's a bold statement. I'm not sure that Garrett Nussmeier is the quarterback I'd lay that sort of expectation on. Lay that sort of the pressure on. I do think I'll have a good year, and I think he'll probably be a first-round pick, but I think that's more going to be due to quarterback neediness than him actually playing at an elite level.
I think he will play to a B-plus, A-minus sure. level, but you're talking Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow, college quarterback, their last year, their Heisman Trophy season. That was A++. That was 102 on a 100 scale. Like, and I think that Nussmeier could maxes out at a 94, 93. Going into the season, I see him as like a 86 right now out of 100, where he's going to play.
I think that's probably right around where I'm at.
But like, you're talking getting all the way up to unstoppable, mm-hmm. literally unstoppable. Just nuts.
That just reminded me, I was this week, you know, just scrolling through the Twitter feed. I saw somebody posted an all 22 angle with some Cam Newton highlights, about 2-3 minute cut up. You talk about dominance,
unstoppable.
I always forget just how insanely good he was. You know, like I know he was that good and I know he was amazing, but then I watch it every time I see it, if something new jumps out, it's like, man, that guy was crazy. Oh, but that's beside the point.
Recency bias gives everybody Joe Burrow as the best single season in college football history. Close. It's Cam. To me, it will. You're gonna have to be.
You're gonna have to throw for 6,000 yards and 80 touchdowns.
Right. Be perfect. Win a national championship, and you're gonna have to be the only
That's the biggest thing. The only player on that team. Really worth anything.
To me, Cam Newton passed Vince Young that year. It's Cam, it's Vince, and then it's Cam, it's Vince, then it's Burrow, and is then it Burrow? It's...
You got to throw Deshaun Watson in there for one of those Clemson years.
Sure, Herschel Walker.
Tebow still even. I mean, Tebow's team was loaded, but...
Oh, you Herschel Walker! My God, a freshman! Derrick Henry as well. Like, come on. To me, it's Cam, and then it's everyone else.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty... Pretty clearly Cam and then everybody else. And I think there's a decent margin between Cam and everyone else. Sorry, I got us off on this.
No, that's okay. next day, Tuesday was a huge, it was loaded day. Go ahead.
Nick Saban, come back to coaching?
No, go back to that. Yeah, we talked about this.
What are we doing, Greg? Come on. There is not one person that told him that. That had any bit of merit to that statement. No, that's a ridiculous thing for him to have reported.
I believe that someone told him that.
Sure. I do not believe that person told him that with any semblance of this is a real thing I'm saying to you.
So I have two theories, and I want to get I'll get your opinion. Was Greg just trying to fill 15 minutes of airtime on WJOX? You guys hear on Mac and Cube in the morning in Birmingham. Was he just trying to fill 10-15 minutes of airtime? One. Was it from a real credible person, and he thought, well, I need to say this because it's Jimmy Sexton? It wasn't Jimmy Sexton, but like that's a name.
That's
that
someone
we're,
it would be
right,
worth saying.
Right. Two. Or three, it's Monday at SEC Media Days. How do I get my name on everyone's lips? One, two, or three. Or I'll leave option four open, other, and you got to fill it in.
I mean, three is the meanest option, but that's the option I'm going to go with because that's certainly what it seemed like. I don't know Greg personally. I don't know that he is that type of, I don't know what media personality. And, you know, I don't want to call him a journalist because I don't really know that he is. But, you know, I don't know that he's necessarily the type of media personality who is sitting here, you know, rubbing his hands together, thinking of every possible way he can make his name bigger and get as many clicks as possible. But that is the way that this came off.
Yes!
So bad.
And I don't really want to go with option three.
I don't want to go with that, but that's what my gut tells me.
I think it's a mixture of all three. I think he heard it from somebody, needed to fill 15 minutes of airtime and thought,
this will be good.
This will be people will talk about this for the next one. Exactly. I think it was a mixture of all three. And Eli Drinkwitz dunked on him yesterday at Maine Media. He talked about, we heard from Coach Saban this year about this player and that player and this player, and not because he's coming back to coaching, Gray.
I mean, it was like, running through our site, the Bama Central site. I mean, we got four or five stories out of just that. You know, Kirby Smart was asked about it. Kalen DeBoer talked about it. I don't even remember who else talked about it.
Hunter DeCiver was all over.
Yeah, everybody was talking about it. Kirby Smart, he had the best quote about
gotta
it.
Gotta ask the boss.
Yeah, he said something about like, well, I wanted to see if he could take Muschamp's job. And that was good. The crowd did not give him the response he deserved on that. That was a pretty good joke.
And he said, you got to ask the boss. Miss Terry is going to be deciding that. And that's exactly right. Like, Miss Terry, God love her, has carried a lot of weight.
Yes, she has.
Yeah, on the home front for a lot of years. And not to say that she's not carrying any more weight that's done, but like, I think that they're enjoying their retired life. And Miss Kristen Saban yesterday going on to social media basically being like, he's not coming back. Like, if you have any brain cells in your body, you knew that he wasn't coming back.
Yeah. It was just ridiculous from the moment I heard it.
I'm getting paid X from Alabama as an ambassador. I'm getting paid Y from ESPN as a college football analyst. And I get to travel to the game of the week, basically best game of the year. I'm getting to play better golf courses than I've ever gotten to play in my life because of time and access. I can, if I just need a check, go do special speaking engagements. Sure. And I can spend time with my grandkids. I can go visit the Alabama football facility and get my coaching itch if I really, really needed to. There's no, to me, advantage for him coming back. Like, if he comes back to coaching, it's going to be Billy's middle school team.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's going to be eight game middle school schedule on Thursday nights.
That'd be the best middle school team that's ever took the field.
Dang it, Billy, your back pedal stinks. It's deep thirds. It's quarter half. Where he covers six, it's quarters.
Oh, man, that'd be good. Yeah, no, Saban is not coming back to coaching.
You got your middle school athletic director. Coach, we can't cuss at the kids. Could you dial back the language just a little bit? With bleeping, bleeping Billy, we'd get black in a bleeping, bleeping zone and see the crosser.
Oh, man. Yeah. He's not coming back. It's just not. I think, and even if you, like, you know, you looked at the writing on the wall of when he did retire, all of the reasons surrounding it,
Harris said all that.
Yes,
keep going.
Like the changing, the changing landscape of college football being a big thing. But then also, like you just said, he's getting to spend time with his family. Like that was such a big part of it, is that he had these children, these grandchildren that he did not get to see. And now he does. You think he's just going to give that up? Like, it's just, he's not coming back to coaching.
He can watch his boys on Sunday now.
Yeah.
Like, on NFL. What do you think, Coach? What do you think Saban did the first time he got to watch Red Zone for 5 hours?
You think he's a Red Zone guy?
No, but I think that he tried it.
Yeah, you're probably right. He probably did try it. He's definitely got the package.
He was like, what's this channel about? Is Scott Hansen 12 hours of commercial-free football? Hey, and he's like,
I don't like this gimmicky BS.
It's just scoring plays?
Where's the process?
Where's the defense? he's probably, the defense in the NFL is awful.
Yeah, no, I bet Saban's got him a nice little basement there at the house. He goes down there.
It's the upstairs.
There we go. He's got 4 or 5 TVs. Maybe 6 even, and he's got a game on each of them.
He's got an upstairs office over the garage up there on Rice Mine, and it is beautiful. It is beautiful.
Maybe he's got one main screen with the sound on, and then you know your auxiliary ones.
And he's got his glasses, and he's just checking out.
He's probably taking notes.
He probably is. And he's probably got somebody that has sent him a report every week. This week, here's all your Bama guys and what channels they're going to be on and who they're playing and what times.
Probably Cedric's job.
You're probably right. He's not coming back to coaching, period.
No, I think he is very content with the life he's living right now.
Yes.
And he should be. There's nothing
else to accomplish.
Nothing left to accomplish. Like, you did it all, coach.
So he's not coming back. But then Tuesday, you get Tuesday was loaded. You get Kirby. You get Hugh. You had Josh Heupel and Texas. Well, you need to hold Texas for a second because of what happened. But I was honestly impressed with Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze took the golf questions, and you know he looked tan as he looked so tan, like he's been
outside.
Yes. But Hugh Freeze embraced the Auburn expectations for really the first time ever. It was, you know, how many press conferences has we just got to get the players in here. Well, look what we were inherited. Look what we got. We don't have enough talent here. And really, he seemed to, okay, we're ready to win. We're ready to go out and compete. And if you're in the SEC, you cannot be poo-pooing your roster. Because if I'm on your roster, Coach Freeze, and I hear, we just don't need to have the players, and we just need better players, and we just look what we inherited. I'm either, A, as you mentioned, or as you motioned, I'm transferring out, or B, I'm just like, well, dang, Coach doesn't believe in me. Sure. Coach thinks I'm a bad quarterback. I'm a bad offensive lineman. I'm a bad defensive back, whatever it is. And, you know, look, people need other people to believe in them. One of the hardest things to do is to believe in yourself, I think. And I'm sitting here 35 years old, and I have trouble believing in myself. The people that are in my life, and you know who you are because you listen to this show, the people who are in my life who constantly, Joe, you got it. Joe, you can do it. Joe, you're doing good stuff. Joe, we believe in you. X, Y, Z, A, B, C. You're doing a good show. You're writing decent. You're cutting your grass. Oh, wait, like you're living. Like, they are invaluable to me. Now spend me back 18 years, 15 years, and make me an 17, 18, 19, 20, 22-year-old. You need your coach to say, yeah, Billy, you got it. I know that other guy is really fast, but you're just as fast. Come on, dig deep. I know that other guy is really strong, but you just got to get your pad level a little lower. You can do it. You can do it. Embrace it. You know, you need those people. Mm-hmm. And if Hugh Freeze is sitting there like, well, our guys just aren't really that good, shoot, it is so easy to believe that. And so I thought Hugh actually embraced that this time around, embraced the expectations, embraced we got to take a step forward. We got the roster to do it. I believe in Jackson Arnold, XYZ, ABC. I was actually mildly impressed with Hugh Freeze.
Yeah. I mean, I came away with I wasn't disappointed in him or anything. I didn't think he really gave us anything super interesting one way or the other. Kind of like you said, he kind of just said what he needed to say up there. I think he did say that, you know, the expectation is making it to the playoff, and he's not wrong. That's what Auburn fans do expect to see. Are they going to get there? I do not think so, but we will see.
So keep going on Tuesday. Who got fired on Tuesday afternoon after Steve Sarkisian gets up to, because they coach, you know, Sankey gets up there and goes, oh, Coach XYZ, he's this, he's that. I'm the coach of Texas, Steve Sarkisian. And they every time they play the fight song, they flash all the colors and the coach comes up. Well, what happened? they did not play Texas Fight. They played the Aggies War Hymn, I believe, is what is the name of the Texas A&M fight song. The Texas A&M fight song gets played, and Steve Sarkisian walks up. Sark didn't even, he no-sold it. Like, no, he didn't even acknowledge it. It was just easy. Oh, sweet. I got a couple comments right here. Greg Skipworth commented, good morning, gentlemen. Greg, I met Greg, and we chatted a couple times at SEC Media Days. I appreciate him jumping in the comments right there and watching us right there. I think that, you know, Sark didn't even either. He didn't notice it or didn't care. But I'll tell you who did notice and care. The Texas fan base online went absolutely berserk. It's disrespect us.
It's because they're ridiculous. This is, they're an insane group of people who think that they... everyone's coming to get them.
Diana Miller commenting on social media. I appreciate you, Diana, for joining us as well. Nobody beats Saban. My son graduated under Nick. Senior year, they beat the stank off everybody that stepped on our boys. That is the best. And getting the college degree and national championship was and is still so happy and proud of our Bama boys. Roll damn tie. Diana, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you being on there. Congratulations to your son. And thank you for your son's hard work and allowing us to cover your family. Absolutely. But yeah, no, the Texas fan, the fan base went absolutely berserk.
They always want to be a victim. They want, they will make themselves the victim in every situation they can. Yeah, it was, I really, who cares? You know, who cares that much? Who, nobody cared that much except for Texas fans. Well, on the
you would have cared if Kalen DeBoer gets up there and it was Auburn.
I would. I probably would have laughed at it and been like, "Oh, that's funny." You know what I wouldn't have done was thought that the SEC sent down a league notice that we were going to disrespect the Texas Longhorns. It's just ridiculous. It's not some conspiracy that we're all out to get Texas. It's some kid sitting up there that was looking at a list of audio where that said Texas and then Texas and dot dot dot, and he picked one of them, and he had a 50-50 shot, and he got it wrong. He should have drug his little thing out to the side so he could see Texas A&M, but he didn't do that.
I hope that that kid didn't get fired.
I sincerely hope he did not also.
But I believe with my whole heart that the higher-ups at the SEC ripped his tail.
I'm sure. I doubt he will be doing that job again. He'll probably be shelved with other responsibilities moving forward.
And then we got Arch Manning. Oh, my gosh.
That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
I was right in front of him. And it was concert-esque to where people were all around me, and I had to, at 10 minutes, I said, I'm squeezing my way out of this scrum to get some air because everybody was pushing up on me. And just like, it was like, guys, well, one, Arch didn't, his microphone was too far away for a little bit, so we were all pushed up on him. And like the SEC guy was like, hey, can you pull that microphone closer to you? We pulled it closer to him and then leaned back, was just like, oh, right. Yeah, nah, nah. And they're like, hey, can you lean up and talk into the microphone, please? And so that was a small thing, but Arch was basically, I'm just a regular guy, I just like football. Sure, whatever. And but he gave you the, well, somebody asked him about Heisman Trophy expectations, and he gave you the, well, that's really nice, that's cool, I appreciate y'all thinking about it, but I haven't proven anything yet. I still got to go out and do some things on the field.
I respect that.
I enjoyed our time standing in front of Arch Manning.
I wonder, you know, obviously I was not there in whatever year it was, 2008, 9, when Tim Tebow made his appearance at SEC Media Days. I have to imagine it was a similar fervor, though.
Oh, it was... It was packed right there. Yeah. That was the biggest scrum that I had seen all week and did see all week. So it was a great time Monday, Tuesday. Mason, let's take a pause on SEC Media Days. We got 2 weeks to really get into it with all the things that we heard. What I'm going to do is get our Caden Proctor interview set up for Saturday. We'll run it. We won't be in here. I'll just program it, and we'll run it on Saturday right here at this time, because I didn't put out an episode on Thursday. I was just so gassed and driving back on Thursday anyway. So what we'll do here is we'll set our Caden Proctor up to play on Saturday morning at this exact same time. You guys have already seen the clip on my social media. How much Taco Casa have you and Wilkin Formby eaten? It's a lot. It's a lot of time.
It was a lot.
He gives you the answer, spells it out. So we'll play that tomorrow. We'll work in Tim Keenan really next week and Deontay Lawson next week. I did spend 25 minutes with Michael Bronner, basically doing what we do, being clowns up there. So that was a lot of fun. We'll play that next week as well. I have a couple of commitments from other media people. Look, I didn't want to interview media people and ask them the same questions. What do you think about the quarterback?
Sure.
What do you think about the offensive line? What do you think about blah, blah, blah?
It gets a little repetitive pretty quick.
Plus, if you're not funny or making me smarter, I just don't care. Like, that's the bar.
I mean, because, like, yeah, because if you're not either of those things, you're probably just giving the same answer everyone else has given on that topic. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, then at that point, nobody's really getting any better.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
All right, let's take a pivot, because on Sunday I did have a great privilege, honestly. Drove over. Sunday was a little stressful because we had church and then realized, oh gosh, the Eastern time zone. I lost an hour, so I've got to pack up right now and go. But I'm really, really glad that I did. I'm really glad that I did because I was invited to talk to view this documentary, Nothing But a Winner, that's going to be coming out. It's going to be released on July 31st. You might have been in Birmingham on Wednesday at the Mystic Theater, I believe it was. They were premiering it. And I know several people on my Facebook were able to go see it. And you've seen, Karen, who likes to call into Tide 100.9. She tweeted all about it, and she talked about how much she enjoyed it. Mason, it had me really on the edge of my emotions the entire time. I was really, really moved. Dax joined me. Dax has a voicemail for this interview. We're gonna play that here in just a minute. We're gonna take a pivot and we're gonna talk about a documentary, Nothing But a Winner. You're gonna want to see it if you are an Alabama football fan. You're gonna want to see it if you're not an Alabama football fan, because you need a little inspiration in your life. Which it was. The perfect flavor for, hey, Joe, you're about to have a big week. You're about to have a big week, and it's about to be media's, and you're about to really have to just lock in right here. And so all these Coach Bryant, you know, the price of victory is high, but so are the rewards. Just chilling down my spine hearing Coach Bryant over and over. So let's take a pivot here and be joined by Jimmy Jenkins. He is the director. And, Jimmy, I want to first thank you for joining us this morning. I know you're very, very busy trying to promote your film, but I really want to thank you for inviting us on Sunday. I've got a voicemail from my guest. We take the voicemails all the time. He joined me on Sunday, so I'm not sure what he had to say about it, but I know he enjoyed it. I'll play that for you in just a second. I just want to start by thanking you for the entire experience and say good morning and how are you?
Good morning, man. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you for coming to the showing on Sunday night. Man, I just really appreciate it and your comments and just you watching it. I was so nervous. And just after Sunday and after Wednesday, it's like I could breathe. People enjoyed it. So I'm just so honored and so happy to be able to tell the story.
So Mason did not join me because Mason was back here in Tuscaloosa doing all kinds of work. But Mason's a lifelong Alabama fan. I've already seen the film. I gave him a little spiel just this morning before we got started. I want to give you a chance to talk to Mason and really tell him through this lens why the younger Alabama fan needs to see this film and why just anybody needs to see this film.
Yeah, you know, I like to make this example. In Nick Saban's tenure and even Bear Bryant, Fortune 500 CEOs will come down just to spend a week to watch what they do. These people weren't Alabama fans. They weren't, a lot of them weren't even college football fans, but it was something about these men that taught you how to be a winner at life. And that was what made me draw myself to the story, because I'm not an Alabama fan. I never was. Quite frankly, I always wanted them to lose because they always won. And when this story called up came to me, I'm like, I don't Alabama. I'm tired of Alabama always winning, but it's a reason why they're winning, and it's principles. And one of the things I realized is that the things that help Coach Bryant win are the same things that help Coach Saban win. And so what it means is the ingredients for winning never change. And no matter if you're a trash man, if you're a barber, or you are a football player, these principles can help you be successful in life.
Absolutely. So the film basically encapsulates the two major eras of Alabama football, Coach Bryant and Coach Saban, but really takes a much, you know, it wasn't just about here's this great win, here's that great win, and yada, 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 everybody's got trophies. It was about the how and the why, and I really was just, you know, the people who watch this show know that I'm rather emotional anyways. I had to get up to go get a napkin pretty much to make sure that I wasn't embarrassing myself the entire time. Because of what you did with your film showing why Alabama is important, why Alabama football is important to not just the people and giving them pride and say, yeah, yeah, roll tide, but the societal impact in the 60s from Coach Bryant. You had all kinds of older Alabama players on there really talking about what Coach Bryant meant to them. But the societal impact of integration in the South and really how I think Coach Bryant helped move the entire state of Alabama forward as far as acceptance of African Americans. I want to just get your take and really open up the floor to let you kind of explain or talk about either what you learned or what your goal was, including that and making that a major theme.
Yeah. You know, it's over 100 years of Alabama history. And one thing I knew is I could not tell it all. It's so much that deserved to be in the story. And there are 1,000 angles you could take. But during this process, I was able to do a lot of research on Alabama football and watch all the films that had been done before. And it wasn't very many of them that really took the angle of the African-American experience. And you have to pick a through line. You got to make a choice. And for our choice, it was wanted to be told through the individuals who were the first. And when we kind of talked to these individuals before the film, we even started filming, one of the things that a lot of them had told us was, hey, you know, nobody ever wants to talk to us. Nobody ever asked us to be in the documentaries. Why do you want us to be in the documentary? I said, well, I think that you guys are important to Alabama football. If you go look at Alabama football today, it's like 85% black. You know, you go look at a lot of these college football teams, they are mostly black. And so they didn't understand the impact they made on the state of Alabama and the Alabama football program. So they didn't even think they were worth even getting interviewed. And it made me just say, you guys are important to this story. And that's the angle we took. And I learned so much about it. And I could have told this. We could have told this story 1,000 different ways, but we had to pick one. And it needs to be a whole lot more Alabama. This deserves a 4, 5, 6-part series, but we just didn't have the money to do that.
I've got a bit of a 2-part question. I want to ask you first kind of about that process of when everything hits the cutting room floor and you do come to decide, all right, this is the angle we're taking, just kind of what that looks like. And then also gaining access to the Alabama football program. You know, Joe and I have both covered the team now for a long time together. I think it's safe to say that it's not the most open door policy here in Tuscaloosa for the football program. So just getting that access and getting players to open up, you know, talk to me, what was that like?
That was probably the hardest thing I had to do in my life, bro. For us to even get through to make the documentary, like when you first try to do it, you can tell people on the other side of the phone like this. Why? Who told you can do this? And man, it took us probably a year just to get the right permission. And the only reason we got permission to do it is because of people like Marla Humphrey and Caleb Castile, Jeremiah Castile, Bobby Humphrey. If we didn't have those guys, we had no shot. And even with those guys, it was still hard. But we were blessed to get Coach Saban. But once you get Coach Saban, it's like everything. Because Saban don't do interviews. It's rare you get him to do. It might do something for like ESPN or whatever for a game. But outside of that, it's rare that he does it. So once we got him, the dominoes fell. And it was phenomenal.
We're talking to Jimmy Jenkins. He's the director of Nothing But a Winner. You guys need to go see it on July 31st, select theaters across Alabama. You can look it up right now. and express your interest, that will help open it up to more theaters and more dates. But I will tell you this, if you have any semblance, if you like anything about Alabama football, it is a must watch. It really moved me. It really fired me up, got me prepared for SEC Media Days, got me fired up for the season, fired up to cover the season. I want to build right off your last point, talking to Coach Saban. You mentioned to us after we finished watching it that if you go see it in theaters, there's going to be 15, 20 more minutes of content specifically involving Coach Saban. What can you elaborate what the viewers will see?
Yeah, so this is special in-theater content that you'll only be able to see if you go to the theater, but it is Coach Saban's full interview, whereas we could only put little snippets in. But just hearing him talk about his whole process is so inspiring, and I think that could be a movie in itself, just sitting there listening to his interview. And so you get all the in and out of Coach Saban's experience at Alabama, and you get it from his mouth. And so that's something you'll get to get at the end of the credits if you stay. But we need people to go to the theaters. You know, they told us when we put this out, when we started distribution, they told us that Alabama didn't have a big enough fan base for a national theatrical release. And I felt so indifferent about that. I felt like Alabama has the strongest college support system, football support system in the country. And I think you guys have the most fans and the most support. And so we got a lot of people doubting us in putting this movie out nationwide. And we want to prove them wrong. And so we need everybody in Alabama, all throughout the country, everybody who supports Alabama to make sure they're at the theater. And even if you're not, just go buy 5 tickets, buy 6 tickets, buy 10 tickets. And that will help us greatly.
We're talking to Jimmy Jenkins, director of Nothing But a Winner. You can see the film right there, July 31st. I want to go back to Wednesday. Wednesday, you guys had a premiere. Tell us about your experience in Birmingham and how to go.
It was insane.
Good.
Like, oh my goodness. It was packed out. Everybody was there, man. It was just packed out, bro. Packed out. And then, you know, I was extremely nervous because, like I said, these are the people that are going to criticize it the most. And at the end, it was a standing ovation. At the end of the night, you saw people during Coach Bryant's part wiping tears away from their eyes. And I didn't even understand what Alabama football really means to people, bro. It's not just football, bro. It's like at the end of the night, Jeremiah Castile, his father got on stage and they both like break down in tears. Because it changed so much of their life. And I even get emotional just thinking about the impact of families and like to kind of see from the players that couldn't even play to now their sons playing. And it just was a beautiful night and it went much better than I expected. And to hear people like they were just responding to stuff and screaming, clapping, like it's like they didn't know what happened in the game, like the Penn State game, the goal line stand. When we put that part on,
and I was just in my chair,
bro. The whole theater started roaring. It was a roar, like y'all know what happened already. And
Marty Lyons gets knocked out on the goal line, concussion for the Tide.
Bro, it was like they never saw it, and it was a brilliant night. It was a brilliant night, and I'm so honored to be able to tell this story.
You mentioned that emotional impact that Alabama football has, where it kind of goes beyond just the, you know, the white lines on the field, and it goes, you know, well beyond just what's happening inside the stadium. Was that something that you realized at all going into this, or was that something that you kind of learned throughout the process? And if it was, what kind of made you learn it, or when did you learn it throughout the process that this was much bigger than just what's happening on the field?
Man, you always hear stories about Alabama. You always hear stories about Bear Bryant. But it really didn't hit me till I came down to Alabama for homecoming to film. And it wasn't a big game. They were playing Mississippi State, and Mississippi State wasn't super good that year. It was Coach Saban's last year. Nobody knew it was Saban's last year. But that is when I really found out how important it was to the community. And just being there, the parades, the kids, the parents, the legacies, the generations – it just was unbelievable. And to see the Walk of Champions and to see how many people just come out there and just to watch them walk into the stadium. It's a culture, man. It feels like a religion. it feels like you bleed it, like you really bleed it. I felt like I had so much pressure to deliver, and I'm hoping the film delivers, and I want it to be one of the great Alabama films that have been made on the program.
We're hanging out with Jimmy Jenkins, director of Nothing But a Winner. Jimmy, I was blessed to bring one of my great listeners. He was actually in Atlanta for some military drill work, and he said, "Are you going to be here for SEC Media Day?" I was like, "Yeah." And he said, "What you doing Sunday?" I said, "Well, I'm actually going to a film. You want to come with me? Let me play Dax's voicemail. Dax joined me at the film, and I think he had some comments or some questions for you.
What is up, Joe and Jimmy? It is Dax here. I'm here to ask Jimmy another question about the Nothing But a Winner documentary that this man wrote. It is a fantastic film. Every Bama fan out there, honestly, any college football fan out there needs to go see this as soon as it hits theaters July 31st. Everybody is going to love it. So I already harped on at the Atlanta screening about how the historical impact that all of the younger generation of Bama fans will really get to learn about, and it really made me appreciate Bama culture even more than I already do. So just thank you for that history lesson. It's going to be so impactful to everybody who didn't even know about the history of Alabama football. So here's the question. It's always been a dream of mine as a Bama football fan to talk to any one of those legends that you got to interview. It's always been a dream of mine. So if you could just put me in your shoes, Jimmy, just put me in your shoes for a second. What were your emotions and feelings getting to talk to not just one, but all of those Bama legends that you interviewed? Again, I love the film. Everybody go follow this man on all of his social medias. I'm sure he'll plug them. Go watch this film as soon as you can. It will bring a whole new meaning to your life as a Bama and college football fan. Love you guys. I hope you have a good rest of your week, and roll tide.
Roll tide. Dax, that's my man, bro. He was great energy, man. I'm so glad I got to meet him at the screening, and that's such a great question. For me, man, it was a reverence for these players. And you saw a few of them started to cry in an interview, like Sylvester Croom. Wilbur Jackson started to get emotional. It was a reverence for what they'd done. And for me, I just had the utmost respect, and I tried to make them comfortable. That was the biggest thing. When I came into the space, my thing was just making them comfortable and know that they can trust me. And to know that, listen, I'm not trying to bring down Alabama. I just want to lift it up. And I just went with an ultimate reverence, but it really changed my life. And it made me think about how I need to maximize my moments of life the way that they maximize their moments. And you only get one time at this life, man. And I made so many mistakes and done so many things wrong. It just being in their presence made me want to just try to do my best to be right and to do the right thing. And not just in football, but just in life. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. One of the best experiences of my life. And I'm just so grateful to this day, man, like that I got to do it.
We're really looking forward to the rest of the Alabama fan base getting to see Nothing But a Winner. We're interviewing Jimmy Jenkins right now, the director of Nothing But a Winner. Spent, what did you say, 3-4 years building this film? And so you can really tell and feel the time and the reverence as he's referencing that he put into the film. I just want to ask you, what's the best way for people to view it? Obviously, in theaters, that's great, and tell everybody how they can find a theater in their area. But once it's beyond that, what are some of the best ways for everybody to consume the film?
Yeah, so right now the biggest thing is the theaters. Like, that is what matters. Like, that's what we're telling everybody. You're not going to be able to see it for a long time after the theater run. So it'll be a way to see it, but it's going to be months down the line. The time to see it is right now, and the time to make a statement on Alabama football is right now. So you could be anywhere in the country. I'm pretty sure it's going to be showing somewhere near you. Alabama, Tennessee, SEC country. We need everybody there. Go buy your tickets today. That's what really matters. Don't wait. Do not wait, because if you wait, you might not get a ticket. A lot of theaters in Alabama are selling out. Like, it's crazy. Like,
good.
One theater started with two shows. Now they're at 10 in one day, and they all sold out. And mind you, we 2 weeks out from film. So, you know, you go, just don't wait to get your ticket. That's all I want to say. Just try to get it now, yesterday, if you can. And, man, I hope to see you guys there. And I want everybody to come see it.
So it actually is going to be dropping the second day of fall camp. So, like, you're not going to get much from us. We're going to get to go hear Coach DeBoer on that first day, and he's going to say, yeah, the players look good. Everybody looks good. We're excited. If you need your Alabama football fix, which I know you do, go see Nothing But a Winner in theaters July 31st. That's going to be the second day of fall camp. It's going to really get you fired up for football season. What are we, 43 days away from kickoff, 42 days away from kickoff? So 2 weeks from today really is really when this is going to get going. You're going to be at, what's 42 minus 14? You're going to be at 28, 29 days away from kickoff at that point. So I know you're fiending for it. It's a great way to hear from Coach Bryant himself, which, man, that in itself is a blessing for sure. And then you get to hear from Coach Saban in the film. And you get to hear from all these legends. Walter Lewis is in here, as he already referenced, Sylvester Croom. He breaks Sylvester Croom in an interview. You need to hear what made Sylvester Croom just go, oh, I wish you wouldn't have asked me that, and grab his handkerchief. And so it really was a powerful, powerful film. Jimmy, we just got a few more minutes left, and I just want to keep this thing wide open for you to let us know. As you made this film, what was the biggest thing that you learned about yourself?
Wow. Man, great question, bro. I think for me, bro, that I can do it. You know, for me, that I can do it, bro. Like, sometimes I doubted myself as a creator, as a filmmaker, and I wondered, man, can I do this? Did I bite off more than I can chew? But it really told me, man, this is just the beginning for me. My career is just getting started, you know? You know, I'm 34 years old, and a lot of directors don't get this opportunity this early in their career. And I didn't want to mess up, and I can do it, bro. It gave me the confidence that just like they win championships every year, I can win championships every year too. And it just proved to me, man, I got what it takes to be a winner, man. And I'm going to be a winner. I'm nothing but a winner too, man. I'm nothing but a winner too. So
I've got just one more question here I want to ask you. Has anyone on the team now or within the program, any of the coaching staff or any of the body, anyone that's here now seen the film yet, or is there a plan to get it to them anytime soon?
Yeah, we'll be doing a screening with the team soon. I don't know what exact day. I think it's going to be during camp.
The
team's going to have a screening. So
I think that will set the tone for the whole season for them well, from what I've heard about this
it's
movie.
It's going to put a lot of pressure on them.
12-0.
Yeah, it's like that's all. All the film talks about is all, like, the crazy thing is the only thing that a lot of the things the legends say is all that matters is the national championship. If you don't win the national championship, they say it's a failed season.
One of the players, I can't remember, what was it, George Pugh? One of the players called Coach Saban. Well, he was mediocre. He only won 6 out of 17. Okay. He was a little tongue in cheek. I want to give it, let him know, grain of salt there, but basically trying to frame the expectations there.
Yeah, it's huge expectation. And sometimes if you come in Alabama, nobody has expectations like this. Nobody. Anybody else, you go 11-2, 11-1, as long as you is good. You have to win the national championship in Alabama. You have to. Just winning the SEC don't matter. And that's what makes it so great. It's a standard. It's a standard. And it's a lot to hold on to.
Well, Jimmy, I want to leave you the last word right here. Let everybody know where they can find the film again, what your biggest takeaway was maybe, and just kind of give the people whatever you want to give us as you get out of here. I know you got a very busy day promoting the film.
Yeah. I got a long day. I'm in New York now. I'm getting ready to go to some places and do some promo. But, guys, please go see this film. I think it'll really, really touch your heart. You can find out more information at nothingbutawinner.com. It don't matter if you love football, if you hate football, if you just want to be a winner in life, I recommend you come in to see this film and tell people about it. And so please, please show up. We got to prove the world wrong and let them know how strong Alabama football is and how strong the fan base is. So I'll see you guys at the theater, and we want to hear what you guys think. So thank you guys so much, and I'm really, really looking forward to this release.
Jimmy, I had a great time on Sunday, and I feel very honored that you included us and invited us, and I really want to echo your sentiments. Everybody needs to go see this Nothing But a Winner film. Check it out July 31st in a theater near you. Jimmy, have a great day, and I hope to stay in touch with you, sir.
Thank you guys for having me, man. Great show. Great show. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That's Jimmy Jenkins joining us from Nothing But a Winner, and man, just – I cannot speak enough good things about it. It was an hour 45. It was right at 2 hours, and I was grabbing my napkins throughout the entirety of it. It was great Alabama football moments. It was Coach Bryant's quotes, Coach Bryant's stories, and really, it was about how Alabama football is bigger than just the pigskin, bigger than just the scoreboard, bigger than just, hey, wins and losses. We all feel good about ourselves because Alabama won today. I was just so really moved. And you know, if you're following me on the social medias, you saw me on Monday morning tweeting the Coach Bryant poem. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or I can use it for good. What I do today is very important because I exchange a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving something in its place that I've traded for it. I want it to be for gain, not a loss, good, not evil, success, not failure, in order that I should not regret the price I paid for it. So many times, Mason, I think, well, I hope we can get to tomorrow. Hell, today's, you know, meh. It was the perfect film to get me set up for football to me. And so I really want to thank Jimmy Jenkins and their entire team for inviting us. And if you're struggling by any means, I'm not struggling. I'm not saying that. I'm not struggling. But if you're struggling by any means, you need a little inspiration, or if it's July 30th and you're fiending for football and you think, I can't make it another month until football gets started, it's what you need to see to juice you up. I was so fired up for Monday. I was so fired up for Monday SEC Media Days, and I was fired up all week long thinking about it. And I just was really appreciative of it. And you know, you got the Coach Bryant line: the price of victory is high, but so are the rewards. So I was really moved. Mason, I'll let you go for a second. I'll catch my breath.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited to hopefully have the opportunity to see it in the next couple of weeks. I'm looking at show times now, so hopefully I'll be able to go get that done. Maybe I can make Melissa go see it if she's interested. Off topic, but a little bit of somewhat breaking news that happened while we were talking to our friend there. Ryan Williams officially joining the Nike football team as a brand ambassador and getting that big NIL money. So, you know, we've talked about players signing outside of what school is theirs or outside of what like brand is their school's uniform provider. It's nice to see Ryan Williams sticking with the Nike here.
Okay. I was about to say, we are a Nike school. Yeah. Great. I can't wait for it.
And I have to imagine he's getting paid a large amount of money for that deal. You think he's going to get some signature cleats?
$20, $30, $50, $80 million.
$100 million. A billion.
$5 billion. After he wins the Heisman Trophy this year.
Yeah, they're going to get him some signature cleats this year.
He's not even going to be the most productive wide receiver on the team. I'm going to say that hot take as we close. He will be the most explosive, yes.
But that's Jeremy Bernard's title.
Yes.
It's just because Jeremy's your safety net guy. You know, he's going to be your, I'm in a bit of a pinch.
And the teams are going to double.
We find Jeremy.
Yes, the teams are going to say double. Hey, we got a double two.
Yeah.
We got a triple two. We got a quadruple two. And it's going to be Jeremy Bernard sitting right there like, hey, guy, I'll take this 8-yarder.
Yeah.
I'll take this 8 and turn it into 15. And then we're first down. I was talking about it this week. I said, you know, I think it's like the 21 team when Jamison Williams was just breaking teams over the top. But it was really John Metchie's technician underneath. John led the team in receptions and cleared 1,000 yards and got in the end zone a bunch and got your Crimson Crane. Like, I think that Jeremy Bernard is going to be very, very, very efficient this year for Alabama football.
I mean, I think I said it when we talked about, like, when we ran through, you know, potential draft picks and everything on this. Like, I think he could very easily definitely play himself into a first-round pick this year. I like Jeremy Bernard a lot.
If I could be a fly on the wall anywhere, I would love to be a fly on the wall in the facility when that movie goes off.
I'm very, very, very glad that he's getting the opportunity to show it to them right during camp too. And you know, as
one of the hot days.
Yes. Hey guys, we're gonna cut it 10 minutes short today. Everybody, we got a video to show you. Sit down for a bit.
Go take a shower.
Yeah,
we're passing popcorn all out. Take some notes, fellas. Man, if it hits them like it's hit me, then go ahead and go to Vegas right now. Go to Vegas right now and make yourself some money. So
let's see. It's really quick.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
The national championship odds right now. What do they have Bama at?
Oh, they have Bama at 12-1 is my guess. They have Bama at,
all right. Well, Texas and Ohio State are your co-favorites to win
at 6-1.
That's what it looks like. Yes.
Oh, that's a total guess. Bam.
Hang on. Now it's loading again.
Oh, you're good. You're good. I'm just guessing.
Oh, well, plus 550.
So okay. Okay. That's fine. That's
pretty dang close. I got Alabama at plus 1100.
I'll put $200 on that and take $2,200 away from it.
Not too bad. Not too bad right there.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So look, we're going to get out of here for the day. We are going to record an episode of All Things Bama. So make sure you find All Things Bama on the podcast machine. Mason's about to lead us in that. I am going to cut a lot more videos today. I'm probably going to cut a little Joe Gaither highlight reel of all the highlights from this week. Man, we didn't even talk about special teams.
Oh, man.
The look on Coach DeBoer's face, how the expression that he gave me when I asked him special teams question is not as explosive as Coach DeBoer on the sidelines yelling. I think that was in the Georgia game, but it's in the top five of expressions that I've seen from him in the last 15 months.
It was like utter shock.
Right.
Like, yes, gotcha, Coach. Could not believe someone asked him that question.
Because the idiots were just, well, Coach, what do you see? You're the quarterback.
It was a flawless plan.
Who's going to start the quarterback? It's Keelan Russell. How's Ty Simpson? And he's like, well, Ty Simpson's really good. If Ty's it, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, dude, nothing has changed since the spring ended. Nothing.
I don't understand why anyone thinks that anything would have changed since the spring ended.
Ryan Grubb ends the spring practice by saying, if we play a game tomorrow, Ty Simpson is the starter. The only thing that's happened between now and then is player-led workouts. That's it. It's the only thing that's happened.
Speaking of player-led workouts, you see Isaiah Horton and Thomas Castellanos getting...
Your boy Cam Ward, give him an award. Give Cam Ward. Oh, Cam Ward said, hey, go say that to his face. Tighten up.
I think Cam Ward's a dog. Cam Ward's got that kind of attitude about him, seemingly.
Tighten up. I'm sorry, Houston. I'm sorry, Indy. And I'm sorry, Jacksonville. Y'all are bleeped.
Man. Yeah, that was good stuff. That was good stuff. I love that video. Well, old Castellanos back down from that real quick. Well, you know, they were 2-10. I'm just trying to light a fire. Just trying to find some motivation. You got to, you better stand 10 toes down on that, buddy. You laid your bed. Everybody sharing the same line this week at Media Days. The disrespect will be addressed.
That was rehearsed. Yeah, that was definitely rehearsed. But, you know, if we're going to rehearse a line, let's keep it short and sweet. Yep. Let's keep it not so spicy, but just a little spice. Let's do a little paprika, a little Cajun spice. I love that. When Jimmy was on and we talk about the goal line stand, I said Marty Lyons busted his head open. It was Barry Krause who had the concussion. Marty was in on the play, but Barry Krause broke his helmet and had the concussion, basically laid out on the ground. and Barry's lines later is, I didn't even realize we stopped him until Marty picked me up and said, good job, man.
Different breed.
Oh,
that was a different kind of player.
Yeah, so what a great movie. I'll encourage everybody to go see Nothing But a Winner. We will talk a lot more about SEC Media Days throughout the next 2 weeks because we got camp coming up in two Wednesdays. So just hang on. It's coming. We appreciate everybody who's joined us all week long from Atlanta. You followed our coverage. You followed Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. You follow myself at Joe Gaither 6 and Mason Woods at MAWoods_. And I got to give a shout out to Theo. Theo wakes up on Monday with food poisoning.
Oh, no.
He made the mistake of eating street food outside New York before the soccer game. They had he went to the big soccer game on Sunday before flying in. Woke up just, yikes. I said, how you doing, man? I've been throwing up all night. And I didn't even hear it. We're sleeping in the hotel. I didn't even hear it. Theo put his big boy pants on, got to the College Football Hall of Fame a little later than we would have liked, but got there. We drove separately. I said, take another hour, take another 2 hours, see how you feel. And he was not well all day long, honestly. And he really put his big boy pants on. And honestly, more than I would. I am an absolute child.
Food poisoning's awful.
I'm a child when it comes to being sick, whether it's a headache, whether it's a tummy ache, whether it's my back hurts today. I'm a child. And Theo put his man pants on, got to the facility, wrote a couple pieces, and came to the business dinner. I said, you need to show up. I'm sorry to say this, but you need to show up. And he was like, all right. He showed up. He ate a bite of dinner. He took the rest of dinner with him, which he should have. And then he was a champ the rest of the week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday was just banging out stories. Right. He's like, oh, I feel better. I'm good. So Theo, follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez _. I have one condemnation of him, though. We're in the hotel room Wednesday night playing College Football 26. And I picked Florida State just for the fun of it. He waxed me with South Carolina. Absolute waxed me. I'll give him the credit. And he screenshots it, sends it to a few buddies. And then we spin another game. And I'm waxing him with Oklahoma against Nebraska. And I offer him the same mercy that he offered me late in the fourth quarter of the previous game. I said, we can quit this game if you want, but you need to send the same text to everybody else. And he did not. So we're 1-1. That was a lot of fun. Theo was a champ all week long. We're going to talk more SEC Media Days the rest of the week. Tomorrow, Saturday, we're going to play our Caden Proctor interview. It'll be short and sweet. It'll be like a 10-minute episode. You'll get a short intro. You'll get the Caden Proctor interview. We'll say goodbye, and that'll be it. So we appreciate everybody who supports the program. Wherever you find your favorite podcast, wherever you find us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, we love you so much, and we're ready for football season right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.